Hello friends, Michael Youssef here with Leading the Way. And as we commemorate the death of 3,000 of our fellow citizens,
that's September 11, 2001,
I find my heart is full of gratitude to God for the comfort He gave to the family, but also full of the feeling of responsibility of the task ahead of us. We had a wake-up call on that day years ago. Sadly, many people turned the snooze button on and then they went back to sleep. We need an awakening in America to realize that our enemy is vicious and he wants to destroy America and destroy all that America stands for. Our culture was built on the logic of the cross, and they want to remove that. They want to destroy that. They want to replace it by mosques, and they want to replace it by training institutions that are totally opposed and at enmity with that cross. So I'm going to urge you to stand in memory of those people who have lost their lives, to stand firm for the cross of Christ. God bless you.
Thank you for joining Dr. Michael Youssef for Leading the Way. Today, he continues a powerful, life-changing series of messages called Treasure That Lasts. You'll walk through four excuses that Moses used not to serve God. Excuses that, honestly, we often find ourselves uttering when God calls us to follow His will. And hey, we want to thank you for being a faithful listener and hopefully a supporter, too, of Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. God is blessing and He is moving because of you. And if you haven't yet become a part of the support team, do that today. Find out how at ltw.org. Or call us up and speak to a helpful ministry representative. Call anytime, 866-626-4356. More later. Now, though, here's Dr. Michael Youssef with today's message.
100 years from now, if the Lord does not return, when history books are written about our time and our generation, I think they're going to say that our generation perfected the art of excuse making. We really have. Now, to be sure, making excuses rather than taking responsibility is as old as the Garden of Eden. Placing the blame on someone else and avoiding taking responsibility is not new. But our generation has perfected this into an art form. Since Eve said, the devil made me do it, and Adam says, Eve made me do it, humanity has been repeating this refrain to a point, as I said now, has become acceptable. When God appeared to Moses for the first time ever in the desert, Moses had at least four excuses as to why he could not go back and rescue the people of God from the slavery of Egypt. Four, why he couldn't do what God is asking him to do. I don't want you to miss the irony here, okay? I don't want you to miss the irony. 40 years earlier, Moses thought that he is the guy who was going to deliver them from the slavery of Egypt, remember? But during those 40 years with the Midianites, with all these Bedouins in the desert, Moses lost his self-confidence. Now, some of you, when you get into a rough patch in your life, and we all do, but when you get through a rough patch in your life and you cry to God and said, oh, God, please help me, and that's fine. But then when He doesn't comply and He intervenes right on your timetable, you begin to think that God is deaf and He cannot hear you. You begin to think that God has forgotten you. You begin to think that if God really loved you, why hadn't He answered you by now? Believe it or not, that too God understands. He's taken all of that on the cross with Him. Now here's our problem. Here's our problem. We often see one or two or maybe even three sides of the issue. But God is seeing at least 65 sides of the issue. And so for 40 years, dear old Moses wandered as a shepherd of the sheep of his father-in-law Jethro with all these Bedouins in the land of Midian. Oh, what a long, long, long way from the luxury of the palace of Pharaoh. What a long, long, long way from the pampered life at Heliopolis University. What a long, long way from the people bowing and escaping to him. Most likely, by now, 40 years later, Moses began to overcome his emotional pain. I'm going to show it to you from the scripture. There can be no doubt that in the land of Midian, Moses' life during those 40 years probably alternated between depression and hope, between concern for the plight of his people and a sense of hopelessness, between wanting to do something and a sense of resignation. You say, Michael, how do you know that? I'm glad you asked, because I want to show you. In the Old Testament, the way they named their children is an indication of the mood of the person that was in at that time. Poor kids. I'm going to show you from the scripture. If you're in a jovial mood, you're going to give your kids very jovial names, upbeat names. If you're down and discouraged and depressed, you're going to give them sad names. Let me illustrate this. Do you remember Eli the priest in the temple where Samuel came and served and ministered with him? Do you remember that? Eli's daughter-in-law was expecting a baby. She was in labor, and she was about to deliver a baby. When somebody came with bad news, they said, your husband is killed in the battle, his brother was killed in the battle, and Israel lost the war against the Philistines. And she was totally depressed, so she named her son Ichabod. The glory of the Lord has departed. Rachel, the favorite wife of Jacob, Israel, you remember? She delivered Joseph. She only had two boys, Joseph. And when Joseph's brother is about to be born, Rachel was dying as she was delivering her second son. And so she knew she was dying. She's delivering the second boy, and she said, call him Benoni, meaning the son of my troubles. And his father said, no, we're going to call him Ben-Yamin, Benjamin, the son of my right hand. So this happens here with Moses. Same thing. When Moses was feeling depressed after he fled out of Egypt, he named his first son Gershom, which means alien, stranger, foreigner in a foreign land. But then later, as he began to experience emotional healing in his life, as he became to experience all kinds of healing from that past negative experience, that was horrible experience in Egypt, he named his second son Eleazar, which means the Lord delivered me. And he began to trust in the sovereignty of God again. Talking, of course, delivering him from the sword of Pharaoh. So during those 40 years of Moses going through God's school in the desert, and I know some of you may be going through that desert right now. You're going through a dry time right now, and you're thirsting for God right now. But the good news is that the school of the desert has only one teacher, and his name is Yahweh. And he is the best teacher. In the desert school, there are no sun worshipers like in Egypt. In the desert school, there are no nature worshipers like in Egypt. But there he meets and confronts and sees the very God who created the sun and the moon and the stars. There he meets the God who is the creator of nature. What was God saying to Moses? He was preparing Moses to put up with the most cantankerous, murmuring, complaining people on the face of the earth. He would never have learned that in the pampered palace of Egypt. No, sir. Only by working with dumb sheep could he learn how to lead these people out of Egypt. Turn with me to Exodus chapters 3 and 4. When we come here to chapter 3 of the book of Exodus, we basically see Moses about to overcome and about to experience some healing from past hurts. And just as this was happening in his life, lo and behold, God shows up. And he doesn't show up just to say, hey, Moses, how you doing, buddy? No, he said to him, he said, Moses, I'm sending you back to Egypt. Egypt? I've just barely got over that, even getting over hearing the term Egypt without shivering. In the burning bush, Moses sees burning, but it's not burnt out. And there, God confronts him with his past. God showed up. And for Moses, this like tearing an old wound wide open again. Do you know what I'm talking about? On the surface, you really think that God is unkind, that God is cruel to do this to Moses. The man is about to heal. Why would God do that? Listen to me. Just as a kind and thoughtful surgeon has to cut in order to remove the cancer out of the body, many times God has to reopen that wound in order to clean it up. You see, when the wound closes with all the infection inside of it, it keeps festering. But God has to open it up in order to clean it up, in order to give them complete healing, not just partial healing. God shows up in the middle of the burning bush and says to Moses, go back to Egypt. And he said, whoa, any place but that. I wanted you to deliver my people. This time I'm doing it, not you. This time is going to be done in my name and in my power and in my timing. It is not surprising. It's not surprising unless you are super spiritual. And you may be a super spiritual. I can tell you right now, I am not. And therefore, it's not surprising that Moses immediately came up with four different excuses as to why he shouldn't go there. Read them with me. Four different excuses, one after the other. What is he saying to God? Here's a Yusuf translation, okay? You're not going to find it in your Bible. A Yusuf translation. Lord, I blew it once. I don't want to blow it again. Lord, I misunderstood your will once. I don't want to misunderstand it again. By the way, Moses did not misunderstand God's will. He misunderstood God's timing. I want to ask you this. Is God asking you to do something, and all you can think of is your past failures? If God is opening a new door for you, and all you think of is your past pain and your past betrayal and your past rejection, if there is an area in your life where God is asking you to trust Him with, but all you do is dwell on your past experience, now I'm going to plead with you, please think again. And so, excuse number one, verse 11, chapter 3, Exodus. Who am I? This is a Hebrew way of saying, you got the wrong man. You got the wrong man. Who am I? Oh, what happened to Mr. Egypt? What happened to Mr. Fix-It? What happened to Pharaoh's adopted grandson? What happened to the general who led the wars and was victorious for the greatest army on the face of the earth at the time? Ah, all of that has been stripped of Moses. But that's not bad. That's not bad because he got God, right? And that's everything. Hear me right, please. Right now, some of you feeling inadequate about what God is asking you to do. Some of you are feeling incapable of doing what you believe God wants you to do. The good news is, God is announcing to you the same good news that He announced to Moses. Look at it with me in the scripture, verse 12 of Exodus 3. I will be with you. Now, I want to hear you say it. I Beloved, God gives power to the brokenhearted. God strengthened the faint-hearted. God strengthened the wobbly knees. God specializes in using those who feel inadequate. God specializing in using those who have broken spirits. I And he's saying that to you as he said it to Moses. When he's with you, you got everything. I know I'm speaking to someone who is feeling brokenness, who is feeling failure, and allowing that brokenness and failure to paralyze you. You have ceased to live for Christ. You have ceased to give of yourself. You have ceased to witness for Christ. You have ceased to do anything great for God. You have become spiritually paralyzed. You keep on holding back. You keep on rehearsing your excuses in your head. You keep on rehearsing the past. You keep on being chained to your present. And God wants you to move with the future. Excuse number one, who am I? You got the wrong man. I'm nothing, I'm nobody. Excuse number two, who will I tell them send me? Now, you know this, in the Middle East, names are very important. Oh, extremely important. It's who you know, and it's who your family name is, and your family name is very important. It really is. And remember this, Moses had a big name in Egypt. He used to. His name opened doors. His name caused people to salute. His name was powerhouse. His name made things happen. His name carried enormous clout. But that was 40 years ago, before he'd been to the school of God. When his people rejected him, when his cousin Pharaoh wanted to kill him, he went from the White House to the jailhouse. So he needed a name bigger than his own. He needed a name more powerful than his own. He needed a name that could make people sit up and take notice. And God so lovingly, so gently, I get totally broken at the kindness of God, the gentleness of God, the grace of God. Always do. Have been for 52 years and I'm not going to stop. So lovingly, he tells him, my name is I Am. What is God saying to Moses? He's telling Moses, I am the eternal God of your forefathers. I am the God of the past. I am the God of the present. I am the God of the future. I am the God who bears and hears the cries of my broken people. Had God said to Moses, I was the God of Abraham, that would have made him only the God of the past. Had he said to Moses, my name is I Can, that would make him the God of the present. If he said to Moses, my name is I Will, that would have made him only the God of the future. But when he said, I Am, means that I am the God of the past, I am the God of the present, I am the God of the future, I am the only God. No wonder when Jesus identified himself to his fellow Jews, his name was I Am. I am the bread of life. I am the door to eternal life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the way to eternal life. I am, I am, I am. I am the same one who introduced himself to Moses those many years ago. Now I'm in the flesh. Give God praise. Without him, there can be no salvation. Without him, there can be no forgiveness of sins. Without him, there can be no eternal life. I am. I am. Excuse number one, who am I? Excuse number two, who are you? Excuse number three, what if they don't believe me? Look at it, verse 1 of chapter 4, Exodus. What if they don't believe me? And here is Moses' root problem. Lord, I once thought that I could do this, but I was rejected. Please don't miss God's response, okay? Here's what God said to Moses. Moses, stop wallowing in your emotional pain and get on with it. Stop eating worms and get over it. That's not my God. That's not in the Bible. Verses 2 to 9 of chapter 4, God, ever so gently, ever so lovingly, ever so thoughtfully, he gives Moses three dramatic signs to authenticate his mission on which he's sending Moses. Your staff will become a snake and then back to a staff again. Your hand will be filled with leprosy, but then it will become healed again. The river Nile of Egypt will become into blood and then it will go back again. Not just one sign, but three signs. What a great God we worship. And finally, Moses reserve his last and biggest excuse to the end. Verse 10 of chapter 4, excuse number 4. Moses said to the Lord, "Lord, I am slow of speech." Wow. Obviously, though, his emotional pain, his emotional shock 40 years earlier caused him to stutter. Beloved, emotional pain can cause physical pain. And sometimes, until you deal with that, your healing is waiting. Come on now. When he experienced the pain of rejection and fear, Moses lost his mojo. He lost his charm. He lost his competence. He lost his silver tongue. He does not know how to speak anymore. And what does God do? "Moses, who gave man his tongue? Isn't it I? Moses, who gave man his eyesight? Now go, but this time do it in my name and in my power and in my timing. I will tell you what to say, and then have your brother Aaron help you." And after all of this loving, gentle, kind answers to all of Moses' objection, Moses was still reluctant. God then had to shake him up. If you have not experienced God shaking you up, you're not listening. God was compassionate with his fears. God was compassionate with his anxiety. God was compassionate with his physical and emotional pain. But then he saw Moses' continuous reluctance as an affront to God. And finally, Moses had to obey. My beloved friends, I don't know what God promised you. I don't know what excuse you're hanging on to and you're making. I don't know what is keeping you from obedience. I don't know. You do. I don't know the reason for your reluctance. I don't know. You do. Let me appeal to you. Stop making excuses. Start trusting God. For his name is I Am. Say it with me. His name is
I Am.
It's the same one who said to Moses, "I will be with you." He's saying to everyone who loves him and everyone who put their trust in him, "I will be with you."
A challenge to stop making excuses, step up, and trust God. This is Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. And you can hear this message again when you click the listen link at ltw.org. Or, of course, you can always get hooked up with the podcast or experience messages through the Leading the Way app. The website to learn more about all of that is ltw.org. Now, Leading the Way is more than a radio podcast or a program. God has opened doors for multiple media platforms to be vehicles where the gospel is passionately proclaimed across 6 continents. Now, one area that's experienced dramatic growth, especially through COVID-19, is our digital presence. You see, nowadays, this means more than having a nice website. It also means maximizing online tools to engage at very personal levels. So make time to click over to ltw.org and check out the ministry happening because of you. While you're there, make sure that you take time to experience Dr. Youssef's weekly television programs, video stories of lives changed by the gospel, and so much more. You can also become a financial partner with the ministry. ltw.org. And if you'd like to speak with someone, call us anytime. We're at 866-626-4356. That's 866-626-4356. Well, we sure do hope that you'll make plans to join us again next time for more Leading the Way. And do remember, too, to continue praying for those who are still experiencing losses from September 11th, 2001. This date will always be raw for the entire nation. This program is furnished by Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.